Welcome back to another Patriots podcast on 985thesportshub.com. This is Matt Dolph. I'm here with Alex Barth. Alex, I think I'm going to start calling this Pat's Pod because it sounds catchy. Rolls off the tongue.
Okay.
Probably ripping someone off, but screw it. I'm going with it.
Quick checking the Google machine here, but yeah. I like it.
There's probably a guy named Pat who has a pod out there that we might be infringing on. But yeah, Patriots are 5-6. Not quite where I thought they would be at this point in the season. I thought there's a chance they could be, 6-5 or something, but I didn't think they'd be under 500. They're looking at potentially an 8-8 or 7-9 season if they can't start consistently playing at a high level, which they've flashed at times. But I think the problem ultimately goes back to the quarterback, unfortunately. Cam Newton. I like what he's brought in terms of leadership. Everyone seems to like him. He's saying all the right things. It's just not really translating on the field, unfortunately. He didn't play well at all against the Cardinals. And I thought he played well against the Texans, but ultimately came up short at the end, which has really become like a huge trend with him this season. The only game where he really came through at the end was against the Jets. And, I guess that tells you all you need to know. They had to come back against the Jets. So, Cam Newton, I think, has been sort of holding them back as far as performance in the passing game. So, that leads to questions now for now and for the rest of this season, especially now that Cam Newton's on the injury report. It could turn out to be a big nothing. Cam Newton might be on the injury report, list is questionable, but ends up starting, no problem. But Bill Belichick feels like he's gotten a little less committal with Cam Newton lately. He's sort of moved off the whole Cam's our quarterback, that's it, that's the end of the story rhetoric. So I don't know. I know you're not crazy about Jarrett Stidham, and I know Jarrett Stidham hasn't played particularly well when he's been put in there. But do you think there's a possibility that they make a change after the way Cam Newton played? Because before I let you go, I just got to finish my rant. In the Cardinals game, they won with I liked the win because it proved they can win with complimentary football and defense, and they could set up the offense with a short field and play good complimentary football that way. And it felt good that they could win a game like that with the quarterback playing so poorly. I couldn't help but look at Cam Newton and say, if you were playing better, the team would look so much better as a whole. And I feel like he's sort of dragging when other players on the team are sort of getting better. It seems like he keeps taking a step back every time it feels like he's taking a step forward. And just the consistency hasn't been there for him. So, now I'll let you go. Say they decide we're going to play Jarrett Stidham. Is that going to be a mistake?
Yeah, I guess it all depends on the context. For me, the way I look at it is if you're benching Cam Newton for Jarrett Stidham, you're not making that decision because of Jarrett Stidham. For a number of reasons, I don't think there's any reason to believe right now that Jarrett Stidham is a better quarterback than Cam Newton. When you look at, since 1970, right, since the merger of every quarterback to throw at least 25 pass attempts, Jarrett Stidham is fourth in terms of interception percentage. 15% of the passes he's thrown as a professional have been intercepted. So, Cam Newton hasn't been great, and a huge reason he hasn't been great is the turnovers. So, if you want to switch quarterbacks, because Newton's biggest issue is the turnovers, then you're switching to Hoyer because Stidham has proven that he is a walking turnover machine, more so than Cam Newton has been this year, which Newton hasn't been great. So to me, if you're switching quarterbacks, what you're trying to do with that is it's not about the quarterback position, is you're trying to send a message to the rest of the team that everybody else needs to wake up and there needs to be changes. Well, the players seem to have figured that out. I would say on the rest of the roster, for the part, there's some dips within names, but pretty much since that Niner game, I do think there's been an understanding and everybody has elevated their game here in the second half of the season for the most part. There's exceptions here and there, but overall. So, benching Newton for Stidham, giving the team that wake-up call, I just don't see, I think that element has already been accomplished. I don't know what you're gaining by benching Newton for Stidham. You're putting in a worse quarterback to wake up a team that's already woken up. Like, what else is the goal there? You just want to see what the kid has? I've seen what he has. I saw what he had at Auburn. I've seen what he has in the NFL. We saw him in training camp. It's limited NFL action, but it's NFL action. We've seen it at no point. And I know you hear things and people pump the tires or whatever. Eye test, between the lines, there has not been a moment since before the Patriots drafted him, because I watched a lot of SEC football, going back to his time in Auburn. There has not been a moment where I've looked at Jared Stidham and said, yeah, this guy's it. This guy's going to be a 10, 15-year NFL starter. Hmm. To me, his ceiling is Chase Daniel. And Chase Daniel, Jesus. You know, finesse hero. Alex Moran in real life. 15 years of backup quarterback. Guy's gotten paid. He's barely thrown an NFL pass. He's barely taken a hit. All the credit in the world to him. That's not the guy I'm building my team around, though. That's the guy I'm building my investment firm around. Right. So I understand why the instinct is there to say the Patriots need to bench Cam. They need to bench Cam. I don't, you know, there's no reasoning behind it other than that gut feeling. If you want to talk about Cam and Hoyer, and I know that's going to piss a lot of people off because the reaction I got after the Chiefs game when I said he should start, if you want to talk about swapping Cam for Hoyer, again, I don't think you'd do it. But that, to me, is a more real conversation at this point than swapping Cam Newton for Jared Stidham, believe it or not.
Yeah, Jared Stidham's got a real future of Merrill Lynch, I think. But that was a joke. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, the whole thing about seeing what you got with him, that's a thing where, like, if you're out of the playoffs, you know, if they get to week 16, week 17, and they're, you know, under 500 and they have no chance of making the playoffs, then, okay, we're going to start Jared Stidham, we're going to get him some experience and all that stuff. That's like what Bill said earlier this year. I just want to give Stid some experience when they put him in at the end of that, I forget, maybe the San Francisco game he was talking about. But, yeah, I mean, we still haven't seen what Stid could do as a starter. You know, yeah, he's always come in relief, so I don't know if that's – you need to give him a quote-unquote a clean inning. But, I mean, if that's the issue, then, I mean, I don't know how confident you could be in him anyway. And, yeah, I mean, I agree. He hasn't really looked like he has full command of an offense, even going back to Auburn. And, like, he's just been sort of a project from the beginning. Like, the physical tools have been there. And we've seen at training camp, especially last year in his rookie camp, he made a lot of great throws. But it's all the little things, and it's playing well under pressure. So, I mean – I think that's where I think probably the Patriots are screwed. And then to your point about Brian Hoyer, screwed for this year anyway, but to your point about Brian Hoyer, I didn't necessarily disagree that he should keep starting because it still looked like, at least between the 20-yard lines, it looked like he had the best like command of the offense out of the three guys. Like he knew what he had to do. The problem is he just physically couldn't do it. And then when he got into the red zone, he completely choked. And so if like the guy's going to choke no matter who it is.
I guess what I'm saying is, you know, to me, the biggest argument to bench Cam Newton is the turnovers. And you can say Hoyer didn't know what he was doing. He made some stupid mistakes. But he fumbled the ball a couple times, but he isn't quite as reckless with the ball as Newton. Again, I don't think they have a better option than Cam Newton right now. I wouldn't bench Cam for either of them, but I think, you know, if your goal is let's cut down on turnovers, right, we're benching this guy because we want to cut down on turnovers, then you should be calling for Brian Hoyer, not Jared Stidham.
I mean, it might not be just be the I mean, it's like a general sort of thing. You look at Cam Newton's box score and you're like, are you telling me Jared Stidham is going to be worse than 23.6 passer rating, which is a worse rating than you would have if you just spiked the ball every play? I mean,
I guess what I'm saying is
Jared Stidham can throw for 84 yards and two interceptions and a 23 passer rating. I mean, why not? I guess why make the switch? But why not make the switch?
I just don't think he can do it.
Are we talking like he's Nathan Peterman bad? Is this what you're? This is the feeling you have?
I think that's actually a very good comparison. Oh, I do. Because I watched a lot of Nathan Peterman at Pitt. I have a family member who went there, so I watch a decent amount of Pitt football. And very, very high IQ. Physical tools are there. It's just the game's a little too fast for him. That's what it comes to. And that's a major issue. You know, it sounds like, oh, you can learn that. You can, but that takes a lot of time. And, again, Peterman's a good backup because he's very smart. He can run the scout team. He can work with younger quarterbacks. Those are all valuable assets in a backup, not a starter. Yeah.
The one thing I could say Jared Stidham can hang his hat on is he probably has the best individual touchdown pass out of all the quarterbacks this year. His touchdown in N'Keal Harry in Kansas City. I don't think Cam Newton's had a better touchdown pass. He only has four the whole season.
I mean, the Damir Bird one. I would say the Damir Bird one's probably up there, but I get what you're saying. You're not wrong.
That was more of a good play by Bird, I thought, to adjust to the ball. But it was a nice little play, Stidham to Harry, and then gave you hope for both of those players, and they've both apparently gone backwards. But I don't know. Like, this is just sort of speculation, and we don't know. Nobody really knows. Nobody ever really reports on what's really going on inside in Patriots practice as far as reps and all that stuff. But is it not possible that in the meantime, Stidham has gotten better since the last time he played, or even since Kansas City, which was like this his last substantial playing time? Is it not possible that Cam Newton's gotten worse and Stidham's gotten better, and there's a chance that he's sort of passed him in terms of the Patriots' confidence in him and, you know, the faith that they can depend on him to execute the game plan better than Cam Newton?
I don't think so, because like maybe marginally, but you're winning games with Newton right now, and I would say the floor for Stidham is a lot lower than the floor for Newton, and you still have a chance to make the playoffs here, and they've won, what, three of their last four, right? So, you know, again, that's the change you make more. It goes beyond the quarterback position. If you're making that change, you're trying to wake the rest of the team up. That's been accomplished, and you've proven you can win with Newton. I mean, if you want to talk big picture, like, yeah, I think that's a really good conversation to have in the offseason. If you're trying to make the playoffs this year, what you're doing is working. It's not working well, but you're just getting by with it. It's a very delicate balance. You know, it's kind of a house of cards. I'd be very, you know, if they were really on the outside looking in and they had to win out and Newton had like two, three stinkers in a row, then maybe. But he played okay against Houston. I think that performance has been a little overhyped, but he played okay against Houston. He played well enough against Baltimore. He played well against Baltimore. So it's a house of cards. I wouldn't blow on it at this point.
The Houston game was sort of Cam Newton in a nutshell. I mean, he made plays, but the little things he just couldn't do right on a consistent basis. The things with setting pass protections was maddening to watch, the way you could see guys just the guys right there, and all he had to do was, this is the sort of thing we took for granted, I guess, with Tom Brady, is that he would always have the guys checking into the right spots to block the oncoming blitzer or just chip him for just long enough for Brady to get rid of the ball. And it's like it's that combined with Cam Newton holds on to the ball too long and he's not decisive enough. And when he is decisive, he's usually trying to force the ball. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like he has held them back, but it's a tough spot to be in, because I don't, like it's like we keep saying, I don't know that Stidham is we don't know what Stidham is. The only indication he's given is that he's not like a capable NFL quarterback. He's barely not even competent with what he's shown on the field. So, I mean, yeah, they're sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place with Cam Newton, because, like, I think there's been games where you could just pin it really on him. The loss in Buffalo, I thought, like, most of the team played well, and then he made the one costly mistake at the very end of the game that pretty much cost them the game when it looked like they were going to score a touchdown at the end of that game. And, I mean, I might have said this last week, but I go back to that Seattle game. It's like, what happened there? I know. I think Michael Wenu missed one of his blocks, but you immediately get tripped up the second you take off. Like, he had no chance. He didn't even come close to making a play in that crunch time moment. And I just feel like it's been sort of an intangible thing with him. And like, you can look at schematic things and technique things with his mechanics and all that. And it's like, even when he plays well, he's still not doing quite enough. He's coming up just a little bit short. And because, like, yeah, they have been competitive in pretty much every game except the San Francisco one. And so, but when it comes down to the moment where they have to have him make a play, he's just come up short more often than not. And so I guess that's not exactly an argument to put Jared Stidham in there. But I don't know. I'm just intrigued by the unknown.
That's fair. That's certainly fair. And, you know, it's you do get to this point and you wonder what could have been with Jared Stidham. I'm just I see a chance to make the playoffs, and I see the guy that's under center is the guy who has gotten you to that point, and I feel like it's really hard to pull that trigger. And it's not like, you know, Stidham's a first-round pick waiting in the wings. Or it's not like they have – you know, even like you look at Chicago, right? Because I've seen some people compare it to Chicago. they had Mitch Trubisky and he was struggling, and they had Nick Foles. Mitch Trubisky is once a second overall pick, and that's not to say that means he's good, but there's an investment there. And then you have Nick Foles, who won a Super Bowl. So you have some sort of stake in both of those guys. My question would be, what is the stake in Jarrett Stidham? What exactly – and I see people say – and this goes back to what I said before, but I see people say you need to find out what the kid has. And some of those people, they've only really seen him throw 27 NFL passes. Belichick seeing him in practice.
That goes back to, like, you only say that when winning isn't a priority. So, I mean, those people are probably the same that want them to tank.
But I would say on top of it too, why? Why do you need to know what you have in Stidham? He's a fourth-round pick. His contract's up in 2 years. Where are you going to miss out on that? Like, what are you missing out on exactly?
He's not Tua. He's not like Jordan Love. He's not even Jalen Hurts. You know, he's not any of these guys.
There was this misconception because the table was pounded Brady's last couple of years in New England. The table was pounded that Patriots had to go out and draft the next guy. And you sort of ended up with this false equivalency, I think, among a certain section of the fan base that just because the Patriots drafted a quarterback meant that quarterback was the next guy. And there was an assumption at one point that Danny Etling was going to be the next guy, if you remember that.
What did that happen?
There were people who thought, seventh round, Bill, he knows he's got
time. You never know. They did it again.
Right. No, but that was the take. That was, well, Bill knew he could get him in the seventh, so he took him in the seventh. And if they didn't think he was the guy, they would have taken a quarterback earlier, just ignoring the fact that Bill Belichick drafts a quarterback more often than he doesn't. So, I don't know that Stidham is quite Etling. And I frankly didn't think – the Patriots went on this run of drafting my least favorite SEC quarterback every year for like 3 out of 4 years. So get ready for Bo Nix in New England.
Stidham's arm talent is better than Etling.
It's better than Etling, but I mean he's close. He's definitely closer to Etling than he is a guy like Tua. And I think that's interesting because you hear a lot of Patriots fans talk about Stidham like the Dolphins talk about Tua. Stidham is a lot closer. Again, the names I'm going to put in, he's Chase Daniel. Chase Daniel is the guy. But, he's a lot closer to Chase Daniel, Brian Hoyer, probably, than he is to Etling. But he's closer to Etling than he is to Tua. The fact that we need to see this guy and need to see what they have in him, they don't. I'll tell you, we saw it. We saw it against the Jets last year. We saw it against the Chiefs this year, which was probably his best game. He still threw two picks. We saw it against the Niners. I've seen enough. We all should have seen enough. It's if he was a better college quarterback, if there was higher, if he had shown more at a previous level, then he gets a longer leash. A guy like Tua, a guy like Joe Burrow, even a guy like Carson Wentz for what he's doing now. Those guys get a longer leash because there is something to see. It's okay. Here's the comparison. When I was in middle school, I basically got straight C's, and my parents would always say, "We're disappointed because we know you could do better." And I always asked them why. What are you basing that on? I've got nothing but C's. Why do you think I can get better than a C?
Because you're a special little guy, Alex. That's why.
He's and I, my mom's in the next room. I'm sure she's going to be furious I just said that.
My special little guy.
Jarrett Stidham's a straight C student. You're not going to get any more. You're not going to get any less. You're not going to get any more. This is everything he's ever shown you. He's everything he's ever shown you to be. To think there's another level to tap into is purely speculation. There's been nothing in the picture to show us there's a reason behind that.
Yeah, I don't think either guy is the answer for next season or beyond. But, I mean, I think it would be interesting if they made the change at quarterback. It would tell you a lot about what's been happening behind the scenes in recent weeks at that position. But switching gears before we get out of here, now I want to talk about ideas for next year, not necessarily like the next decade or whatever. We can talk about quarterbacks in the draft at a later time. We probably will in an upcoming podcast, probably do an entire podcast on the draft. But I want to see them go out and get a specific guy. And I think you said you would like this guy if they got him. I want them to trade for Matthew Stafford in the offseason. I would love it if they did that. I have always, I guess, quietly been a Matt Stafford guy. I guess I've never really had a reason to defend him publicly or – write about him in such a supportive manner. You know what?
What's not to like?
What's not to like? Exactly. Former number one overall pick, and I think he's dragged some terrible Detroit teams to winning records. He's had three coaches, none of them particularly good. Jim Caldwell, is okay. He's fine with like fundamentals and like having a professional operation and all that, but he's not a guy who's going to put you over the top as a coach or like win a chess match. But he's good with quarterbacks, and so I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lions' best years with Matthew Stafford came when he had Jim Caldwell. Other than that, he had Jim Schwartz, who's, you know, a pretty good defensive coordinator, but was not a good head coach. And Matt Patricia, who was like, I don't know what the hell happened there.
Eddie P. Like, Lions fan.
I mean, oh my God, do you think that was really him? It seemed like it.
Yeah, some guy came out today and admitted that it was just some nut job. He admitted it.
The guy is a nut job, whoever was tweeting that, if it wasn't Matt Patricia. Highly supportive. It had to be his cousin or something. I don't know.
No, it was a guy who wanted to see if he could make a good burner convincing enough that people would think it was actually the guy.
Oh God, that's a thing now? People making up pretending to be other people's burners to get them to say it was a burner? Well, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked. But yeah, no, I've always been a Matt Stafford guy because, I mean, obviously the talent, obviously the iron talent is there. He's always been one of these guys to break all the throws. And I mean, that's what the big reason why he went one overall. And he was like, you know, pretty much the consensus number one overall pick when he got drafted. I think what he's done better than most guys, and there's numbers to prove it, is he's been clutch. Here's a stat. Since he entered the league in 2009, this is according to Pro Football Reference. I honestly didn't look up how they score the stat, but he has 39 game-winning drives, Matt Stafford does, since he came into the league. That's second most in the NFL in that spin. Only Drew Brees has more game-winning drives. Yep. So, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with him, you know, the Lions having a bad defense or bad coaching and just bad teams, and he's just, you know, he's making up for it at the end, you know, like just making it up, throwing it, just slinging it down the field. But he's come through. He's come through in a lot of big moments. He's shown toughness. And I mean, I know he's been injured, but, you know, he's come in and like gone on clutch drive. This was years ago, but I remember it might've been on Thanksgiving or something. I think it was against the Browns. So the both teams stunk at the time, but there was like 30 seconds left. Stafford has like he just like subluxed his shoulder or something crazy. Or like, you know, sprained his shoulder. It comes back, it comes off the field, but then comes back in and throws like a game-winning touchdown pass in the final minute. My memory might be distorted, but I mean, I've just always seen him as that guy that I would feel good about him having the ball at the end of the game. And I know the decision-making hasn't always been on point. The consistency hasn't been there, but I think that honestly comes down to coaching. And when he had a solid, like a decent coach, at least for quarterbacks with Jim Caldwell, he was good. And I mean, the Lions, they've had a defense in the top 10 only once in Stafford's career. He's always had to make up for bad defenses. They've never had good offensive lines. He's had weapons. So, I mean, obviously he's put up passing yards and stuff. But I think if you give him Bill Belichick and you give him better coach players around him and a real offensive line, I think the interceptions would go down. And I think they'd win some games. I think there are some games this year where you switch out Cam Newton and you put Matt Stafford in at those game-ending moments, and Stafford's going to make the play. So, I mean, that's why I kind of want to see Stafford here. I wouldn't mind if they have to trade for him. And I think he has a pretty good contract, so they probably have to give up pretty good draft capital. But I don't know. I would like that move. I would love it if they traded a draft pick for Stafford. You know, maybe made him the guy for like, you know, 2 or 3 years, restructured his deal, and then maybe draft a guy and develop him behind Stafford. I want to see Belichick and Stafford. I want to see what Belichick can do with him. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the durability, and he gets hurt a lot, but he plays hurt. Before last year, when he only played 8 games, he'd started 16 games for 8 straight years.
There's a difference between durability and toughness. You know, like people sort of conflate the two a lot.
No, he plays. He stays on the field.
He hasn't been durable, but he's been tough.
Right. There's, you know, early in his career, he was a bit of a turnover machine, but since 2014, he hasn't thrown more than 13 interceptions in a year. He's generally in like the 10, 11, 12 range, so that's pretty good. We'd also get the super fun narrative of the Patriots doing with Matthew Stafford what the Bucs did with Tom Brady and recruit his favorite weapon, trying to drag Calvin Johnson out of retirement. So that would be – I'm not kidding. I don't think it would
I'd happen, rather Golden
just
Tate.
Just discussing it would be a ton of fun.
I'd rather Golden Tate.
No, I would too, but it's not – you can't compare Golden Tate to Rob Gronkowski. Come on now.
Or even like Eric Ebron, but I don't know. I guess they never really worked out.
I like Stafford. I guess, you know, for me, when I'm looking at what the Patriots might do next year, I think just given the way this team is built, and this goes back to something I talked about earlier, just given the way this team is built and what we know about Belichick and everything, I think the turnovers have to be killing him, that he has one of the most turnover-prone quarterbacks in the league, right? Cam Newton has thrown more touchdowns than interceptions. He's the only quarterback over the age of 30 to be on pace to. I mean,
isn't it way more? Isn't it like 4 touchdowns, 12 interceptions or something?
4 touchdowns to 9 picks. The last quarterback, there's some rookies who have done it.
And I mean, I know he's had rushing touchdowns, but passing, he's just been, hasn't been good.
You got to be able to throw the ball. It's more about the interceptions, really, for me. So, you know, you look at who doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. So I'm going to give you here. This is since 2015.
Oh, I heard this. I heard this name. This is a controversial name now. Our guy, Evan Lazar, was very – was angry on the internet when he found out that you would be in favor of this guy coming to Foxborough. Lay it on us.
So, well, there's going to be a couple names in here. I just want to give you, since 2015, at least 1,000 passing attempts in the league. So that's 38 quarterbacks. Here's the lowest interception percentage. Not total interceptions, but what percentage of passes are intercepted.
I like that stat. Underrated stat.
Aaron Rodgers, far and away, 1.04%.
He's unbelievable. Side topic. Yeah. With the not turning it over with the way he throws it deep. But okay, continue.
Right. Second is Patrick Mahomes. You're not getting him 1.31. At third, coming in third, the third fewest percent of passes intercepted since 2015 is Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, my God.
At 1.33%, he is also he's the only quarterback in the top 10 to not throw a pick six in that span. Tom Brady is fourth at 1.4%. You have Drew Brees at fifth at 1.53. Behind him is Alex Smith at 1.54. Dak Prescott, there's a bit of a jump to seventh at 1.74. And then an eighth is Derek Carr at 1.76. So three, potentially four of those guys are going to be available this offseason. Taylor, I think for sure, is going to be available out of Los Angeles. I think there's a decent chance Derek Carr becomes available in Las Vegas. And Alex Smith's contract is up at the end of the year. So you throw him in. And then if you want to throw Dak Prescott in for fun, I think the Cowboys have to pay him. He is the ultimate to me. If they can somehow land Dak Prescott this offseason, rolling. But that's
Earlier in the season. I'd love Dak here. But
we'll throw that aside. So you have Tyrod Taylor, Alex Smith, Derek Carr, three guys who don't turn the ball over. And I wrote about this back in March. The team I think Bill Belichick is trying to build is the team he was building in 2000 and 2001 before Tom Brady emerged, became Tom Brady, and changed the way they went about things. Strong defense, power running game that can chew the clock, and a passing game that's just a net neutral. They don't have to give you anything as long as they don't take anything away. Right now, the Patriots' passing game is taking things away. Like you mentioned, 4 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. That doesn't include the fumbles from Cam Newton. And by the way, those three guys I mentioned, I don't have the fumble numbers in front of me. I looked earlier, but they're all relatively low. These aren't guys that put the ball on the ground a lot. So, you know, if I try to get in Bill Belichick's mind, which is always a dangerous and tough thing to do, you know, do I want Cam Newton, who's probably better than any of the three quarterbacks I just named? Carr might be a wash at this point in their careers, but he's better. Just pure. You want to talk about like Madden rating or whatever, right? PFF rating. Cam Newton, you know, eye test ability. Cam Newton's probably better than Tyrod Taylor. He's probably better than Alex Smith. Call it a draw with Derek Carr. But is what he is adding with his legs and dynamic play, like, you bring him in to make a playmaker, to be an explosive playmaker. He's not making those plays. Right. So at that point, even though, yes, he's probably not as good of a quarterback overall, is Belichick going to want the guy who's not going to turn the ball over? I think that's what it comes down to. If you're not going to get a positive from the quarterback situation, and Newton's ceiling is undoubtedly higher, and this is where it pisses people off, because they say, Cam Newton's better than Tyrod Taylor. He is. Yes. Everything we've seen, eye test, Cam Newton is a better quarterback than Tyrod Taylor. The full body of work. I don't know that Bill Belichick is going to be so concerned with the full body of work when they go into this offseason. He might just say, which guy's not going to give the ball away? I don't care about what he does making plays. I just don't want him making plays for the other team. Right. If you look at it solely through that lens, and yes, it's a narrow lens, but it's something, right, it's something they preach, ball security. They may be okay looking through that narrow lens. If you're willing to look through that narrow of a lens, then Tyrod Taylor, Derek Carr, and Alex Smith are better options than Cam Newton. There you go. They're not better quarterbacks, but if you're looking through just the lens of ball security, they're better options.
Definitely better in terms of ball security. But I don't
Carr was eighth. He was 1.76%. Cam Newton's interception percentage since 2015, 2.71%. The only quarterbacks ahead of him. You ready for this?
Oh, boy.
Osweiler, Cutler, Fitzpatrick, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and the worst interception quarterback in the last 5 years is Jameis Winston at 3.4%.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we might be arguing semantics with, like, better quarterback, what that means. But, I mean, not turning the ball over is a big part of the position.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is great, and he's elite because he can make a lot of plays, and he doesn't turn the ball over, and he's smart, and he's savvy, and all that stuff. I just don't think Cam Newton has enough of that. He's obviously more physically gifted than all three of those guys. He can throw the ball further. He can run better. He can get you a play in short yardage. He can make plays with his legs. I just feel like I look at this team and I think they would have a winning record if they had Alex Smith or Tyrod Taylor. I think if Belichick had just a competent quarterback who didn't turn the ball over, you know, and they ran the ball, and when he just had to run a simple passing play, he just executes it. And he doesn't have to depend on him too much to make big plays. Now, you get into these end-of-game situations. Can Tyrod Taylor make plays for you? Can Alex Smith make plays for you? That's a fair question, but I think Cam Newton set them back too much.
But also, if you're turning the ball over less, you might not be in that situation as much. And by the way, I'll throw this out because you mentioned throwing the ball down the field. And that's what I heard today when I brought up Tyrod Taylor is, well, he doesn't turn the ball over because he doesn't throw the ball down the field. He doesn't take risks. Average yards per attempt. Cam Newton, 7. This is in that time span, the last 5 years. Cam Newton, 7.15. Tyrod Taylor, 7.5. And if you want to go into the sabermetrics, which I hate, but adjusted yards per attempt, Anya, which people hate.
There's sabermetrics in football?
I don't even know. Whatever, analytics.
Yeah, the advanced stats.
Yes, the adjusted yards per attempt, which people love so much. Tyrod Taylor, 7.25 yards per attempt. Cam Newton, 6.82. Tyrod Taylor is throwing the ball down the field as much, if not more, than Cam Newton.
So I'm an idiot. The adjusted net yards, like, takes away yards after the catch, I assume. It's literally how far they're throwing the ball down the field.
It is passing yards plus 20 times passing TD minus 45 times interceptions over passes attempts. I don't know. I see people talk about that one all the time.
We're going to do math to determine good athletes.
It's those people that are pissed about this conversation, so I'm going to use their own numbers against them.
Yeah, just use stats when it suits your argument. That's fair.
That's what we do here.
Yeah, no, I honestly would like it if they got Alex Smith, but I mean, I don't know what he has left. He hasn't been great for Washington, but I say you give him Bill Belichick, and this is what I thought about Cam Newton. I guess I was wrong about Cam Newton. I just said give Bill Belichick a quarterback who's all in, who's committed to the cause and the team and all that, and he's leading and all that, and they'll be better on offense just because of that. But that was with the assumption that they would get at least average competent quarterback play, and he's been below that, unfortunately. I think it's been Bill Belichick and the other aspects of the team that have kept them in this game, in these games. It's like there haven't been a ton of games where, like, they were only in it because Cam Newton was making plays. I guess you could say Seattle in the fourth quarter, the comeback against the Jets. Other than that, I think it's been more about complimentary football, coaching, and discipline and all that stuff. So, I mean, but that just goes to the big picture. Give Bill Belichick a quarterback who's more of a traditional passer like Matt Stafford, or a guy who's just going to be smart and disciplined and not turn the ball over like Tyrod Taylor or Alex Smith. Doesn't feel like Cam Newton was ever really the right fit in terms of on the field.
Let me just put out there for the record that I would take Stafford over any of the three guys I named. I would take Prescott. So the names we mentioned today, I would take Prescott first and foremost, and I think you said you agree with that.
Yep.
Then Stafford, and then I guess Carr. I'd go Carr, Taylor, Smith, probably in that order. I don't want people saying, you say you wanted Tyrod Taylor over Matt Stafford. Just other names. Names, I think. It's more so names I think are realistic than I want. Do I want them to be a net neutral passing offense? It's not as fun to watch that way. You know, they win games. I want them to win games.
It would be more fun than what we've seen for most games.
Right. But let me throw that disclaimer out there. I would definitely take Stafford over any of those three guys. But as we get into it, you know, you try to look at tendencies. I really think there's going to be an emphasis if they move on from Cam Newton, which we don't know that they're going to do, if they move on from Cam Newton, I think the emphasis is on ball security. And those guys have been, specifically Taylor, some of the best ball security quarterbacks in the league over the last 5 years.
I would like to see – I mean, I would rather see at this point a quarterback who's not going to turn the ball over and just hand it off and, you know, make the simple plays, do the little things right. I'm ready for that. I've seen all that Cam Newton has to offer as a playmaker. I'm not holding my breath. I think he starts again in Los Angeles this weekend. If you're listening, we're in week 13
he's healthy.
Of the 2020 season. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like he'll play through whatever he's got. I don't know if it's you know, Felger and Maz are opining. Tony Maserati wrote about this on 98.5thesportshub.com. He thinks that he loves like trying to decipher what Bill Belichick's doing. Like I do too. I wrote about him playing Jedi mind tricks on the Chargers with the way he was overpraising Joey Bosa and those guys. But Maz wrote that he thinks that that Bill's starting to, you know, move toward a change at the quarterback position, and they're going to do it by you tweak your abdomen there? Oh, you got the sore rib? All right, we're going to put you on the report with the net. It's like, no, Bill, I'm fine. No, we're going to put you on the injury report. And then, they're saying, like, I think they said, like, yeah, you know, just pay him whatever his incentives were and go to Stidham. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they're saying that you want to see what you have, but I mean, I'm not at that point yet. If it gets to week 16 and they're 7-8 or whatever it is.
I mean, once you're out of the playoffs, fine, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah.
But
they probably would anyway.
One thing just to backtrack real quick, cause I forgot to say this before, cause I see people saying, you know, you can't just measure Cam's doing in the passing game because of what he does with his legs. And they want that. And Josh McDaniels has talked about that. When you have the design quarterback runs, the extra blocker in the box, it gives you the numbers. Tyrod Taylor and Alex Smith can run the ball fine. So even for the people who kind of like the idea of this new Patriots offense, like the results aren't ideal, but they like being this more modern offense. They like having the running quarterback. They like doing the read options. Just because Cam is out, you know, Stidham's probably not going to do that. But just because Cam is out doesn't mean that's gone. Alex Smith, Dak Prescott, Tyrod Taylor can all do that. So, again, and it goes back, I guess I'll tie it into what you just said in this. If that's the way the offense wants to go, and it seems to be that that's the future Josh McDaniels has in mind for the Patriots, again, Stidham's not the guy because that's not his offense. So, you know, if you want to see him try to run it, if you're out of the playoffs, go for it, whatever. But I don't think, you know, how long is Jared Stidham going to be in his fourth year here? Is he going to be 27 years old? Is he going to have set the NFL record for most interceptions through first 50 career passes or whatever? And we're still going to be hearing people say, you got to see what you have in him. Like, at what point, tell me, because I don't know, tell me, please. At what point have we seen enough? At what point is it no longer we need to see more? That's all I'm asking. Let me know where that line is, and I'll follow the line, but I think I've seen enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not convinced that I've seen enough of Stidham, but I mean, I would like to see. I guess that's the term of the week. See what you got. But I mean, yeah, we'll get to that point if they're out of the playoffs. But before we get out of here, just quick thoughts on Patriots Chargers. Who do you think plays the quarterback, and who wins? How does the game go?
So, I mean, as long as Cam's practicing, I think it's Cam. You know, if he hadn't practiced yesterday, I think it's a much stronger conversation.
Yeah.
I you know, they got to figure out a way to run the ball, and the Rams know that, and they're going to – or sorry, it's the Chargers this week. I'm already thinking too ahead. It's going to be interesting because the way they beat the Chargers in the playoffs last time they faced them in 2018 was that quick release, right? We've seen the clip going around on Twitter this week of Joey Bosa telling Thompson to not throw the ball so fast. One of the biggest issues with Cam this year is he's been holding on to the ball for too long. So you got to figure out a way to counter that, whether it's just getting in his head and telling him to throw or, you know, increasing the number of times you call screens, end arounds, jet sweeps, things like that. They've got to figure out a way to manufacture quick offense. If they can do that, you know, it's Bill Belichick versus a young quarterback. I think the defense will take care of business. It's just a matter of, you know, this could be the sacks are going to tell you a lot more than the turnovers. This is a game where Cam Newton could get sacked 5 times or, you know, hit, knocked down, whatever, like a bunch. If they can keep him clean and get the ball out quick, they should be okay. But just based on what we've seen, right, the Houston game where he's holding the ball forever, I think that could – it's a big if.
Yeah, I mean, side note, I think Cam Newton getting the ball out quick has been sort of part of the problem. I mean, you go back to Houston, right. There's the play where there's plays that they designed for him where he gets rid of the ball quickly, but I think he's sort of telegraphing it with his mechanics or whatever. He doesn't have a quick enough release. They're seeing something, elite, whether it's on the film or just right there on the field, where he almost got picked for – it might have been a pick six if I think it was Bradley Roby undercut the route to Dante Moncrief, I think it was. And, like, you go back and watch that play, and, like, it looked like he telegraphed it all the way. He knew – Roby just knew what it was coming, and he almost made him pay for it big time. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to get rid of the ball quickly, though. I mean, that's going to have to happen against that Chargers pass rush. I think when in that divisional game where Brady picked them apart, I think part of it was he was getting rid of the ball quickly. I think Bosa and right. Melvin Ingram and those guys were sort of getting home, but just not quickly enough. You know, Brady was getting rid of the ball in under 2 seconds. So, I mean, can Cam Newton do that for a whole game without making a costly turnover? I think that's a fair question to ask. But, yeah, I think it's going to go maybe almost the same exact way that the Cardinals game went. I have no confidence that Cam Newton's going to play well in this game going out on the road against a pretty good defense. But I think the coaching, Bill Belichick's going to coach circles around Anthony Lynn. The situational stuff, the Chargers are going to be a disaster. I don't know if you saw the end of that Bills game. It was a comedy of errors.
Yeah.
I think Bill Belichick is going to have Anthony Lynn's head spinning just like he did in that playoff game. I think the defense is going to flummox Justin Herbert. He's going to turn the ball over. Hopefully they win the turnover battle, but I think it goes similarly. I think they win with defense and complimentary football. Cam Newton maybe does just enough. Maybe they give him a short field and they score that way, but that's how I think it's going to go.
So you want a late game stat here before we wrap it up?
What's that?
Since Anthony Lynn took over, the Chargers have played in 35 one-score games. That's the fourth most in the NFL, 35 one-score games. Yet their 22 losses in those 35 games are the second most from that same sample size. The only team, by the way, that's lost more one-score games since 2017 than the Chargers is the Buccaneers, oddly enough. But they haven't played nearly as many.
Isn't that a sign of just like poor grasp of situational football? You get in so many games. So many games where it comes down to a play here, a play there, how you manage the clock, and just like decisions you make at the end of the game, you know.
Yeah. If you think about it this way, the league average for a record in games under 500 is – or in games under one score is 500, right? Lost my train of thought there. The league average is 500. Everybody has to lose. For every game that's won, every game has to be lost. The Chargers are losing 62% of the time. So they're 12% over that league average in terms of losing late. That's not a coincidence at that point.
Yeah, it's definitely not a coincidence. I mean, just the end of that game last week was unbelievable. How little of a hold the Anthony Lynn had on his team there, and then he's not going to have them prepared. Bill Belichick's going to have his team prepared, and they're gonna do the little things better. Hopefully, the quarterback does too. But I think that's what's going to happen. So, yeah. Any final thoughts on the quarterback situation before we get out of here?
You know, just be patient, but I'll say this. People wanted them 2-3 years ago to move on from Brady and tank and start the next thing. Like, this is the risk, is you end up in this quarterback carousel. So I think the quicker you can get out of it, the better. And that, to me, you know, if you want to have this conversation, you want to have it intelligently, you want to impress your friends, the answer isn't going out and getting the next Tom Brady, because that's not going to happen. The answer is just, you know, get out of the quarterback carousel, get a guy you can rely on, because once you have a guy you can rely on, you can build the roster from there, and that's how you go about contending. So
yes,
just try to get out of the carousel. If you think Stidham or Newton are the way out of that carousel, fine. I don't think they are, but that's kind of how you want to frame this conversation if you want to have it intelligently.
Tyrod Taylor or bust, says Alex Barth. That's going to be the headline on the website.
All right. Don't send all the hate.
Take that, Lazar.
Hey, I even said I'd rather have your guy than Taylor.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just busting balls, but yeah. So that's it for another Patriots podcast, Pat's Pod with Matt Dolph and Alex Barth. Went a little long for you this week, but I hope you enjoyed our takes on the quarterbacks. Enjoy the game on Sunday in Los Angeles, and we'll talk to you again next week.